with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Film reviews and movie news.
Yes, it is. It's film reviews and movie news with me, Stuart Pink, and O Marchio, wherefore art thou, Marchio?
Are you saying that from a balcony?
Yeah, yeah, of course I am. Yeah, yeah.
Right,
big,
okay.
Long hair in a nice dress.
That I, oh, well.
Obviously.
Fantastic, fantastic. You look gorgeous, as always.
Oh, cheers.
That's the main thing. Yes, absolutely.
Wherefore art thou?
Well, I'm here.
In the office.
Yeah, yeah, I'm here. That's you know where we're talking.
Oh, okay,
yes.
Good. Yeah.
Yes, yes. You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because obviously we are going to talk about a film that is based on some work of William Shakespeare, probably the world's most famous piece of work that William Shakespeare did. The thing is, we're now rolling up to Halloween, obviously, so we're going to be doing at least one horror film a week, I think, or if we don't, chances are one of them might be a horror film because it's terrible or something. I don't know.
That counts.
You know,
horrific.
Yeah, it counts. Yeah. But you know, Romeo and Juliet, I mean, are we classing that as a horror story? I mean, I guess.
Well,
maybe
there's a big twist at the end, and I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
Who hasn't read it. You know, it's only been out a few weeks.
It's been out a while, isn't it?
I'm just wondering. You know, are we classing it as that? I mean, I don't imagine we are, but I guess at some level you could. And I'm surprised we haven't had, or maybe we have, and I've just not seen
we
it.
We must
a horror film.
A zombie Romeo comes back.
A zombie Romeo and Juliet, or, you know, some sort of horror movie that's based on Romeo and Juliet. I don't know. I just find
somebody must have done that. If they haven't, we've got
they
to do
must
it.
Have.
Let's make it happen. Romeo of the Dead.
Oh, well, obviously there was that action movie, Romeo Must Die. That was, you know, in the 90s, I think it was. But that was an action movie rather than anything else. But yeah, Romeo of the Dead, yeah, that's not bad. But, you know, you had George Romero as well. So I think people would think it was a George Romero movie. We don't want to do that. But and listen, I'm getting sidetracked here because obviously we were sort of briefly talking about horror. And I wanted to mention something because, as I said, we're going to be talking horror movies. We've got a horror movie to review on the podcast as well. But there's a film out this week which I had seen. Now, you'll find this interesting because obviously you play music in between our waffles.
Yeah.
There's a film out this week called The Ballad of Tam Lin. Now, it's based, it came out in 1971. It's been re-released on Blu-ray thanks to the BFI. It came out then. It is based on a traditional Scottish ballad. That's the whole thing. Like, the whole film is, the story is based on the ballad. I have not heard of that ever in my life. And I was like, that's weird. Then if I tell you, it stars Ian McShane, obviously, you know, Lovejoy.
Oh, yeah.
Subsequently, other things. It's got Stephanie Beecham in there. And it's also got Ava Gardner in there as well. And this was all shot in the borders of Scotland. I mean, it was directed by Roddy McDowall, who was from Planet of the Apes, the original Planet of the Apes movies. It's his only directorial debut. It's his only directorial film as well. I'm like,
oh, wow.
There's so many different things going on with this movie.
Hidden gem.
Well, this is the thing. They've sort of brought it back. It's classed as a British folk horror. I would agree with that. You know, it's certainly in the vein of something like The Wicker Man or Blood on Satan's Claw. Not as violent or bloodthirsty either. More atmospheric. It's a strange old movie. And I think for anybody who is into their folk horror, this is one to seek out. I mean, I know it has done the rounds in the past on a scratchy DVD and whatever else, but they've cleaned it up here and whatever else. But I was quite fascinated with it. I won't say whether it's a good or a bad movie because I came away not really knowing. And I think that was the point of this, is that it was sort of one of those movies that you kind of came away going, well, I'm not sure about it. Is it this? Isn't it that? And it was never really fully explained because obviously it was a flop, really. Nobody saw it.
Oh, yeah.
And Roddy McDowall went on to star in bigger and better things and kind of forgot about it. So this has come back around again, you know, so interesting timing, I would say. Very interesting timing.
It's got Joanna Lumley in it as well.
Yes.
Seeing her face there.
Yeah, Joanna Lumley's in it as well. You know, there's all of these people in this that you go, oh my goodness, is that so-and-so? Like, Cyril Cusack is in there as well. People might remember from Fahrenheit 451. Yes, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
There's just all of these you know, just these things. And the music's done by Pentangle as well, who were quite a big band. I don't want to say huge band, but they were kind of like this folk group that were very popular in the 70s as well. So the music's done by them. It's just this weird sort of British movie that got released in the 70s and has sort of disappeared from trace. And now it's back around. As I said, Ava Gardner coming to the UK, coming to the Scottish borders, the British, you know, the UK, wow, English borders as well. Yeah, I know. That's the thing. I was like, okay, fine. So, yeah, so it's called The Ballad of Tam Lin. As I said, it's based on a Scottish ballad, a Scottish song. And I was just like, I can't imagine how that works. I've seen it now. I still can't imagine how it worked. Just, you know, just one of those things.
You're going to have a listen to the ballad.
We might have, well, we'll have to do it off air because who knows what it might mean. I don't know. That's the thing. You know, it could be all sorts of weird stuff. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, maybe we'll listen to it off air just in case it has any sort of mysterious side to it.
Yeah, well, maybe. It could be like the Scottish play or something. You can't mention it and then all things will happen in the mirror. Yeah.
Now, you see, you can't say that, can you? You can't say the word. I mean, you can, I guess, but we're not going to say it. It's
if you're feeling particularly brave and silly.
Exactly.
Dangerous, isn't it? So you don't say the name of the bad wizard in Harry Potter, do you? It's just the same, really.
Shakespeare and Harry Potter in the same sentence. Fantastic.
Not sure anyone's ever made that link before, but
no. Well, you're welcome. I don't know. Some could suggest that, you know, there are some elements of Harry Potter based on Shakespeare's work. Anyway, listen, talking about Shakespeare, nice you brought it back round to that. We have a movie on Disney Plus this week. This is our first movie we should be reviewing.
Shakespeare written the new
Rosalind. Yeah, well, that's the thing.
He's back.
Has he? No, he hasn't actually. No, there's no return at all on this one. So this is called Rosalind, and Rosalind is jilted by her lover Romeo for another woman called Juliet. Seeking revenge, Rosaline enlists the help of her friends to win back the heart of Romeo and banish Juliet.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So not really based on the book.
Well, no. Yes and no.
No, not really based on the book at all. You know, it's weird, isn't it? Because me and you have been doing this for a few years now, and we seem to end up, certainly over the past few years, have been reviewing these movies that Hollywood now seem to think that every single well-known character in film or TV or literature or whatever it is needs a backstory, whether it's required or not. Here's a backstory of Cruella de Vil.
Here's
a backstory for the Joker. Here's a backstory for Candyman. And you go, who's asked for these? Really?
Yeah.
We like the fact that these characters come into the world and are fully formed. Some of us don't need these backstories. I mean, some of them worked. Obviously, Joker worked. Cruella didn't work. So now we have this sort of backstory / spin-off about somebody linked to two of the world's most iconic literary characters. Once again, the barrel is well and truly being scraped here. It is well and truly being scraped. Yeah.
I thought it sounded like a great premise even to have. But
yeah, no. Listen, I agree with you. I was kind of like, that's interesting. And it's not a bad film. I want to say that. It's not a bad film. It's just more that it's a film that goes in one ear and out the other because it's just not a worthwhile story. I mean, as you said, it sounds like a fun idea, but the actual physical end product is pretty unspectacular. Rosaline is an energetic teen who causes all manner of chaos wherever she goes, and then she breaks up Romeo and Juliet because she sort of does it because it's a sort of nasty, ill-tempered thing that she does. There's some dark ideas that come out, but then I guess, hey, listen, that's no different to maybe your average teenager who believes they were in love with somebody and have been jilted for somebody else. It's all a little bit school playground, really. In this, that's the unfortunate thing. The main problem with this movie, though, is that it's not funny, and yet it is crying out to be funny. It just...
Yeah. That's the thing. Got to be the main point of the film, isn't it, to
Well, think about the movie we did last week, Catherine Called Birdie, where, you know, it worked brilliantly because it was like this modern retelling, but it was still set in the medieval era.
Oh yeah,
and it was funny and it was sarcastic and it got loads of wit to it. this movie should have been that as well. That's the thing. It should have had all of that. Instead, there's little flickers of humour, of sarcasm, of wit, but nothing sticks. None of it's funny. It's a movie that you can literally see is trying to be cool and hip with the teenagers. And instead, it comes across as trying far too hard. Far too hard. I will say this. Caitlin Dever, who plays Rosalind, does an amicable job. But having seen her give much better performances in recent years, Booksmart, obviously.
Yes, that's right.
That was good. This feels like a huge step backwards for her. I mean, the best thing about this movie, really, is her interaction with Minnie Driver's character, who is Rosaline's nurse. That's the only fun part in the movie. And that happens of about five times in this movie, of about 2 or 3 minutes each time. That's it. That's the only funny times in this film. The rest of it, it's trying to be desperately funny. Do you know what? Actually, this film just lacks zip. That's what it lacks.
Yeah.
You know, it lacks energy. It lacks humor. I get the feeling that maybe the filmmakers thought, you know what? This is funny. Yeah, write this down. Yeah, that's funny. Or, you know, that's humorous. Yeah. Oh, I like that bit of wit and whatever else. I'm sure it reads great on the page, but when you see it on screen, it's not. And the problem is...
A bit like Romeo and Juliet then.
It's a valid point. I guess what's happened with this movie is that it's missing the exact audience it's trying to aim at, and that's teenagers, because this does not feel like a movie that teenagers would be interested in at any point at all.
Yeah.
It's just lacking everything. Do you know what? It's a movie that is out this week and will be forgotten next week.
Oh, that's a real shame. I feel like in the trailer, they've obviously done a good job of cutting it together because it looks brilliant. They've found all the funny bits and put them in there.
That's the beauty of cutting trailers, isn't it? You see,
yeah.
Where you think, oh, this looks good. But when you elongate it to 90 something minutes, you think, oof, this is tough going. This is tough going. I haven't really laughed at all. And the romance isn't really that interesting at all. And, you know, there's other bits. There's a few characters in this who I think they're acting in a real Shakespearean drama.
Oh, taking it all a bit serious, are they?
They've taken it a bit seriously rather than thinking this is sort of a comedy for teenagers. So, yeah, it's just not a good film.
I see there is someone cast as Romeo. I was kind of hoping from the trailer that you wouldn't actually ever see Romeo. That would have been a good
gag. Idea. Yeah. Great idea. Really good idea. Unfortunately, no, you see Romeo quite a lot. You see Juliet quite a lot as well.
There you go. To the big question, to be or not to be, you'd say nah.
I would say not to be watching this film.
Not to be. It's not to be.
Yes, not to be. Yes.
Oh, but where's this out if you do fancy it?
So this is streaming on Disney Plus.
I'm going to watch it and then I'm going to rewrite it and then we're going to do it together.
Thank you. Please. Yeah. Please do. Yes.
Let's do that.
Somebody with a bit of humour in their bones. So yourself would be very good at that.
Cool. I'll cast you as Romeo and then not have Romeo
I don't. No. I don't want that. No, thank you. No. Too much pressure on that.
Too much pressure.
Much. Yeah.
Okay. You could be the nurse then.
That's better.
What else you got for us, Mark?
So now on DVD and Blu-ray and also on digital download, wherever else you can rent your digital copies. DC League of Super Pets. Here we go. So a superhero movie. A superhero. Yeah, I guess so. Crypto the Superdog and Superman are inseparable best friends, sharing the same superpowers and fighting crime side by side in Metropolis. However, Crypto must master his own powers for a rescue mission when Superman is kidnapped.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's a lot going on.
It's
a lot.
More complicated than I thought.
yeah. Now, I know, and I think a lot of people will know this, that DC Comics and Warner Brothers Pictures have this special relationship when it comes to adapting DC Comics, etc., for the big screen.
Yeah, okay? They do.
And they do it for the small screen as well. We've got to say that. But what is this? What is it? I'm so confused by it, because it's a superhero movie about animals that are pets to actual superheroes.
I mean, they can have pets too.
Well, they can. Yeah, yeah. Honestly, yeah. I'm not discrediting the fact that, you know, that Superman shouldn't have a dog at all. It's just the fact that that sounds really good on paper. On the big screen, it is utter rubbish. I mean, literally, if you took Crypto out of the film and removed the DC characters, then you wouldn't know it was a movie about superheroes and their pets. It's just a standard pet movie that could easily have been another movie in the Secret Life of Pets franchise.
Oh, that's the one I was trying to think of. Yeah, that does, that even has that vibe in the trailer, actually.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Which, yeah. I mean, I'm a fan of that franchise. I like that franchise.
Yeah, it was good.
I don't know what's gone on here at all. The other thing is that it's just not interesting or funny at all. I mean, Crypto is the very definition of a dull main character. He's meant to be funny. He's meant to be a little bit stupid as well. He's meant to be really attentive and, you know, loads of other doggy / superhero traits. But he just comes across as quite annoying, to be honest. Oh. I'm not really sure what the filmmakers were aiming for with him as the central character. But either way, I don't think it works at all. The other pets aren't that much better either. Ace the dog isn't even a super pet. He's just a dog. But let's be fair about this. That's why he links up perfectly with Batman, because Batman is not a superhero, okay?
No, he's just a guy in a suit, isn't he? He's got attitude.
As it has been said, Batman is just a very rich person with great toys. That's all it is. So it makes sense that his dog is not a superhero pet or whatever else it is.
Yeah.
But then the problem is the rest of the pets are all standard pets as well. One or two of them have superpowers, but nothing where I was like, that's cool, that's awesome. I was just like, eh. The linking between the pets and the superheroes that they end up choosing is the most tentative of links you can ever imagine. I mean, it is really doing a lot of heavy lifting and hoping the viewer won't notice how wafer thin the whole thing is. It just basically goes, yeah, and you go, what was that? And they go, no, don't worry about it, it's fine, just go with it. And you go, well, I'd like a little bit.
He needs backstory to these super pits, please.
I don't need that. I don't need it. I just need a clearer line of distinction between why that pet has chosen that superhero and the superpowers that they hold or don't hold, basically.
Yeah.
Look, here's the thing. This movie has a great voice cast. Okay.
Yes.
It's got a great voice cast.
Absolutely.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Kevin Hart, Kate McKinnon, John Krasinski, Keanu Reeves, loads more. The problem is it's not really up to much. I mean, you can tell who's doing the voices, but it really does feel like none of the effort has gone into making any of them any different or really lively, apart from Kevin Hart, who, as we know, is super lively.
I can't imagine him not doing lively, really. Yeah,
yeah, exactly, exactly. So you go, well, that's Kevin Hart. Okay, great. You know who they all are, but it's just got no zip to it, no energy whatsoever. It's all just a little bit poor, really. That's the thing. I genuinely don't think anybody is going to laugh at this film. I don't even think it will raise a titter. I think kids will be bored. Adults will wonder, what the heck is this all about as well? You know, especially if you're a DC fan as well, because there are people out there who are massive DC fans who gobble up everything that DC put out. And, you know, they'll want to watch this. And I just think they'll come away going, what was that? What was that? I mean, ultimately, and before you say it, I'm going to say it. This is a real dog's dinner.
Oh, well done. Yeah, that was...
Was that... you were going to say it, weren't you?
That was in the... Yeah. I probably was going to go with that one.
Thought so. Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame. Again, the trailer looks great. So, well done to whoever made the trailer.
But I'm the same. When they first put out the trailer, I was like, that looks like fun. That looks like an entertaining, you know, hour and a half or whatever it will be. Hey, yeah, great, fantastic. And then the closer it got to release and the more trailers we saw and the less marketing we saw about it, I thought, uh-oh, there's an issue here. And then I saw the film and realised why they didn't show it to anybody when it got when it came out in cinemas and why it quickly died a death, really.
Oh, that's a shame. So Super Pet's not quite so super. You'd put the director in the dog ass.
Oh, dear.
So for the podcast, we've got one that's a bit more Halloween-esque, have we?
Yes, yes. As I said, we're approaching Halloween, so let's do a proper horror movie. So now, streaming exclusively on Shudder is Dark Glasses. This is about Diana, who's a young woman who lost her sight. She finds a guide in a young Chinese boy called Chin. Together, they will track down a dangerous killer through the darkness of Italy.
Oh, I've been to Italy. Now, it's quite light. But I suppose it would be dark if you've got those glasses on.
And also if you're blind as well. She's blind.
Diana's blind.
So yeah, absolutely. So this is the new movie from Dario Argento. It's been 10 years since this guy has directed a movie. He is, for my money, the master of the giallo horror subgenre, basically. You know, Suspiria and Tenebrae are absolutely top tier horror films. If you're into your horror and you've never seen Suspiria and or Tenebrae, you have to see them. They're amazing. They were groundbreaking movies, and people have been homaging / ripping off them for decades, basically. But in recent years, prior to 10 years ago, I did feel that Dario Argento's movies had kind of lost a touch a bit. It all become a little bit comical. Whether it was unintentionally comical and tongue-in-cheek, I was never really sure. That was the thing. Mm. I think with Dark Glasses, there is still a bit of intentional and unintentional humour about it. However, it's something that doesn't really spoil the film that much. The story itself is quite suspenseful. I mean, sure, some of the secondary characters are a bit wishy-washy. However, there is something about the relationship between Diana and Chin that actually makes everything worthwhile to watch this film. It's sort of like this opposites attract relationship. You know, both of them can't survive on their own, yet combined, they're very good together, and they do a pretty good job of not just surviving, but also venturing out to find out who this killer is and why they're being stalked by somebody in a white transit van. You know, there's something about their dynamic in this film that's it's almost got this, as I said, opposites attract vibe to it. It's almost got these, you know, both of them have been pushed out by society because of something, and yet they find solace in each other. And I like that about it. I like that interaction here. Now, in terms of the horror, there is still a very synth-heavy score that Dario Argento has always liked to use. There is actually more blood on screen here than I think has been seen in the past few Argento movies. It's still that redder than redder blood that he's been using for many decades. Yet, I think that works nicely when you're watching a giallo film. You know, it sets it apart from your regular horror movie that comes out of Hollywood or something
like
that.
Thick mix of, like, proper.
It's a bright
not cheap
red.
Ketchup, this is.
Yeah. No, this is a bright red. That's the thing. So, you know, it's it does stand out. And the kills in this are your usual giallo-type murders, where mainly it's in the first-person viewpoint so as not to spoil who is doing the killing until the big reveal. It's actually quite playful with some of the kills as well. I like that. But then the big finale is quite down and dirty. I mean, it almost takes it back to basics in how it's been shot and who's involved. It's not an overly complicated finale in terms of characters and plots and visuals. Instead, it just basically goes for it. And I think it just about sticks the landing. It just about works. So, you know, in terms of this movie, I do think you have to be a giallo fan and or a Dario Argento fan to seek this out. You know, this is not your mainstream horror movie. Having said that, you know, that does sound like, oh, I'm a bit down on it. I'm not, actually. You know, this is not top tier Dario Argento. Okay, it's nowhere near, but it is middle tier.
Mid-level Dario.
Yeah, mid-level Dario, and that's still not a bad thing at all, because this guy is making better horror movies than 90% of stuff we see out of Hollywood these days anyway.
Cool.
It's nice to see a new film from him. He's got a keen eye, as always, for his horror writing and directing, and I'm pleased that he's returned, and this is a good return for him. As I said, not top tier, medium tier, but it's a good return.
Nice. Something original, and it feels kind of like a unusual sort of story for a Halloween film, or it's a sort of spooky film. So
yes, yes, mixing that's it the up. Thing. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So you know, there's a few spooky moments in here, but mainly it's about the gore and the giallo element of everything in this.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah.
Nice. So it's on Shudder.
It's on Shudder, which is the horror movie streaming platform, and it's very good as well. I will say that lots of really good horror stuff on there.
I can imagine you are on it all the time.
You can imagine what it's like, can't you? Yes.
It's a bit like
the good thing is
when you go to Nando's and you've got like different levels of heat. It's like this is a level CRB in the horror sticks.
It kind of is. It kind of is. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, yes.
Nice. It's actually called Black Glasses on IMDb. I found it under.
Now, here's the thing. Yes. Okay, right. So I saw it when it was called Dark Glasses. Some of the posters call it Dark Glasses.
Yeah.
Some of the posters call it Black Glasses. Right. Whatever it is, it's the same poster. It's directed by Dario Argento. It's streaming exclusively on Shudder. So Dark Glasses or Black Glasses, I don't know where the change has come about, I'll be honest.
No, the trailer, it says Dark Glasses as well, so I don't know how they've...
Yeah, there you go, you see. So I don't know how this has happened. It's the same film. You don't need to go and see the other one. It's the same film. It's just a title change for some bizarre reason that I didn't find... I don't know why. Maybe I'll try and find that out.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a Dario Argento, and it's a woman with some glasses on, funnily enough. And a bit of blood on her face on the poster.
Yes. Easy. Yes. Yes.
Nice one. Excellent. What you got for us next week, Mark?
So next week, we actually have a superhero movie next week. So not a pet superhero
Leave
movie.
Leave the pets at home.
And it is a DC movie as well. It's a DC movie.
Ooh.
I know. So it's Black Adam starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Hang on a second. Dwayne The Rock Johnson did a voice in
he was just
DC League
doing...
of Super Pets. Oh, dear. Well, this could be awkward, couldn't it?
Next DC, week. Man. There we are.
Yeah. So Black Adam. Is out in cinemas next week, so we'll be reviewing that. We'll also be reviewing an Irish movie called The Banshees of Inisherin. It is not a horror movie, okay? I will say that. It stars Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson.
Oh.
And it's by director Martin McDonagh. Those guys did In Bruges many years ago, so if you liked In Bruges, this is the new film from them. And then on the podcast, we're going to be talking about a book adaptation that's called Where the Crawdads Sing.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Yes, yes. Very popular book now adapted for the big screen. So we will be talking about that on the podcast.
Fabulous. Well, as we were doing a DC film, I shall be bringing my cape next week.
Yes, but also bring all your spandex as well.
Oh, always. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want you just turning up in a cape.
That's a very different image.
Yeah, exactly. I know we're in Halloween month, but I don't need to be scared like that.
It's too early for all that, yeah.
It is. It's far too early.
Film reviews and movie news with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Thanks for listening to Film Reviews and Movie News. We've been doing this little podcast for years now. Mark has watched and expertly reviewed hundreds of films, and I've made hundreds of terrible jokes. They're all available to listen to again if you subscribe to the Film Reviews and Movie News podcast. It's freely available wherever you get your podcasts from, or you can find all the latest episodes and everything else I do online at stuartpink.com.